The title of this series is Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of Abraham. This is taken from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Matthew gives us the genealogy of Christ. The focus of today, of course, is the announcement of Jesus' birth, and it's too specifically to Joseph. What we're going to look at today is that God does act upon His creation. God acts upon His creation. When we see Jesus Christ and the birth of Christ, it's easy for people to look today at Christianity and say, you know, there was this man in history who started the Christian religion. Well, it's not really an accurate way to see it, because that's why the genealogy is given to us. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the faith that God has called us to throughout all of history. As we studied from Hebrews 11 and 12 this morning, He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so Matthew gives us the genealogy that from time of prophecy, Christ, the Messiah, was prophesied, and he gives the genealogy, and then the Messiah, Christ, is born. And it makes it very clear, then, that God acts upon His creation. He is not a distant creator who just sits back and lets everything happen as it will. No, He acts upon His creation because God has a purpose that He's carrying out, and He will carry it out. And it is happening specifically through this one, Jesus the Christ. Now, some of our perspective this morning will be from Joseph's perspective, because Joseph is a key part of this text this morning. Joseph understood that God is a God who is the creator, who acts upon His creation. But from Joseph's perspective, there was a little bit of a dilemma. In understanding that, what the dilemma is, we're going to look at some of the prepositions in the first couple of verses, particularly in verse 18. Joseph and Mary were in a betrothal period. There were three different periods to a betrothal period in New Testament times in Jewish traditions. There was a time when two families would get together and they make arrangements, and most of the time this is how it happened. There were incidents in Scripture where a man says, you know, I want that woman, mom and dad, get her for me. You know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, this was an occasion where probably when they're as young as 12 or 13 years old, families get together and they say, you know, the father would say, you know, your daughter, we would like her to be the arranged wife for my son. But that's how it happened. The arrangement was made. Then the second period is when the relationship actually becomes official. And when the relationship becomes official, they don't come together yet as man and wife living in the same house. But when the relationship becomes official is when Joseph then takes legal responsibility for Mary. And they use the title wife and husband. And the only thing that can break that legally binding relationship is a divorce. That's during this period that we find ourselves, that we find Mary and Joseph in this story. So, it says in verse 18, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Okay, so they're already betrothed. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. You see those two prepositions there? After they were betrothed, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Those three prepositions. After they were betrothed, before they came together, she is with child. For Joseph, that was a problem. That's not the way it was supposed to be. That was not according to God's law. According to God's law, this was a violation because they hadn't come together yet. And now she is with child. And Joseph knew he had nothing to do with that child. All he could assume was, looking at it from his perspective as a human perspective, that Mary had been unfaithful. Okay? Now, here's the dilemma. Joseph was a just man. What does that mean? It's the word dikaios. This is Joseph's disposition. All right. For him, this was a design violation, meaning this was not according to God's law. Therefore, this cannot be God's will. Therefore, I can't go along with this. Now, as we understand that, let's sidetrack here for just a minute and understand how it is that God can work. When God acts, because remember, God is acting upon His creation. When God acts, He is not bound by natural law, nor is He limited by human capacity. God's ability is not limited by my understanding. Okay? So when God acts, He's not bound by natural law. Why is that? Because He made the natural laws. Okay? He established them, and He is the one alone who can override them. And He has many times in history. And so He's not bound by natural law, nor is He limited by human capacity. But that puts Joseph, with his understanding and the information that he had up to this point, it puts him in a dilemma. Now let's consider Joseph's disposition then. Because it says Joseph was a just man. What does that mean? It means he was righteous. Just can also be translated as proper. What that means is Joseph was a man who followed God's design. And what is God's design? But what God has revealed to mankind. God reveals, I am the creator of life, and this is how life ought to be. And Joseph was a just man. He understood that, and he was resigned to follow that. He knew how things ought to be. But what does it say of Joseph? The reason why he's a just man is because he followed God's design. That is why he had to make up his mind that he had to let go of Mary. Because she was with child. That was not his child. Now, we know from looking at the story that this is God's doing. We know where the child came from. Joseph didn't have that information yet. So do you see how Joseph, being a just man and acting according to the revelation that he had at this point, if Joseph was to be obedient to God's will, what did he need? He needed more information. He needed new revelation from God. Because what he was doing was following what God had revealed according to his design. And Joseph, being a just man, was going to follow that. But let's understand this. Joseph thought it through. He used his reason to think through what God had revealed. But Joseph thought it through with kindness. Remember that. He wasn't vengeful towards Mary. He could have been, but he was not. And yet he was resigned to follow God's law, God's will, God's design, and therefore he had to put Mary away from him according to God's law. But he was going to do it with kindness. Oh, so much for us to learn from him in that way. Now, what he needed was more revelation, and so it came. And that takes us then to the dream. Verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Remember, from Joseph's perspective, with the information that he had, this is God's law, this is God's design, this is my betrothed wife, she is with child, and it is not my child. According to God's law and God's design, I must put her away from me. Joseph needed new information, and here it comes. The angel of the Lord appears to him. And this brings us to the third preposition, the fourth preposition. The first three caused the dilemma. After they were betrothed before they came together. Mary was with child. The new information was this last preposition. That child was of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. The angel comes to David and he says, Joseph, son of David. He addresses him with this line. It is an address of one who is in a kingly line. And that stopped Joseph right in his tracks. He says, okay, you've got my attention now. I don't normally get that kind of a greeting. Nobody usually refers to me as Joseph, son of David. Because when you appeal to David and the sonship of David, what you're referring to is a kingly, a royal lineage. Joseph wasn't used to that. So the angel had his attention now. And he says, Joseph, here's what you need to do. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary to be your wife. Why would he be afraid? Because of what other people would think? No, that has nothing to do with it at all. Because for all Joseph knew, what Mary did was a violation of God's law. And Joseph couldn't be a part of that. So the angel says, don't be afraid to take to you, paralambano, receive her to yourself. She is your betrothed wife. Now bring her into your home. Let her be your wife. Do not be afraid to do that. This is not a violation of God's law. Why? Because the child that is born, that is conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. There's no other man involved in this. Mary has not been unfaithful. In fact, Mary has been very faithful. So he says, take to you Mary. And then he speaks of the one who is conceived in the womb, his name. Let me tell you who he is, Joseph. His name, you're going to call him Jesus. Now, that was a very common name, but names had significance. And when one specifically appeals to one's name and what they're going to be called, that means there's great significance in that name. A name refers to one's character and one's purpose. And the character and purpose of this one will be all about salvation. It will be all about redemption. And that's exactly what he says he does. Verse 21, she will bring forth a son and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? He will save his people from their sins. That's what he will do. That's who he is and that's what he is going to do, Joseph. This is who has been conceived in the womb of Mary, your wife, of the Holy Spirit. Now, very important to understand here, the word save means to rescue. He will rescue his people. What is he going to rescue them from? Well, it says their sins. You say, how does that happen? Everybody sins, right? Let's get a little doctrinal lesson in here, okay? Because this is what is so rich about the gospel of grace, that God sent his Son to do this for us. He will save his people from their... He is going to rescue us. What are you saved from? You are saved from the wrath of God. So when he says he will save his people from their sin, what he's saying about, he is going to save his people from the punishment of sin, the punishment that sin deserves. Because God is an absolutely holy God, and we are not. We are rebels. Our very nature is to do that which is contrary to the very character and purpose of God. And this one who is conceived in the womb of Mary is the one who will rescue us from the punishment due that sin. That's the doctrine of justification, and that happens by faith. When we entrust ourselves in faith to this one, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the rescuer, this is what he came to do. You might look around you and say, I see a lot of Christians. None of them are perfect. They sin too. You and I both. You see, this is a positional rescue. In God's eyes, we are made okay with him because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That happens by faith. That's why faith is required of us in order to have this. But not only does he rescue us from the punishment of sin, he also rescues us from the power of sin. And that's the doctrine of sanctification. That's what's, Christians, that's what's going on in your life and mine right now. By the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives and His Spirit in our lives, He is rescuing us from the power of sin. He tells Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells the Galatians, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he says, if walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He tells the Romans, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Jesus said, abide in me and you will bear much fruit. You see, in these things, he is rescuing us from the power of sin. And the more I become like Christ, the less and less I am overpowered by the distractions that would take me away from him. Listen, Christian. Are you growing in Christ? Are you progressing in this sanctification? I believe every Christian ought to be able to measure in their own lives how they are growing in this process. How you are growing greater and greater over the power of sin. Not because you're trying harder to be better, but because you are walking with your Creator, Redeemer. The more you walk with Him, the more you become like Him. And the more you become like Him, the less you are distracted by the things that would draw you away from Him. Can you measure that? His name is Jesus. Why? He will save His people from their sins. He rescues you from the punishment of sin. He also rescues you from the power of sin. There's more to come. Eventually, He will rescue us from the very presence of sin. And that's glorification. That is when you and I, who are in Christ, will be with Him forever, exactly like Him. Not deity, but like Him in character, perfect before God, because we've been rescued from our sins. And there will be nothing that will defile or that will distract me away from the One who made me for Himself. His name is Jesus. For He will rescue His people. He will save His people from their sins. That's a lot wrapped up in a name, isn't it? This is God's purpose. This is God's plan. And this is what He revealed then to Joseph. And then we come to verse 22. Done. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. All this was done. You know what that one word means? Listen, folks. This is history we're dealing with. This is not mythology. Nobody dreamed this up and says, this is what you need to be thinking about reality. No, this is history. This stuff happened to real people in real time and space. All this was done so that it might be fulfilled by what was spoken by the prophet. Why was that important to Joseph? Because Jesus wasn't just a man who came along in history and says, I think I want to start a new religion. No, He was the fulfillment of what God promised centuries, even millennia before this time. That's why the lineage, the genealogy is important. God fulfilled His promise. And when He used the word fulfilled, it clicked with Joseph, because Joseph knew that when God speaks, it will happen. And here it is. It's happening. It's happening right before my eyes. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? Whoa! My wife is going to be mother to the Messiah. Probably had to sit down. Of course, he was lying down during this time, you understand. But in his dream, he had to sit down. Now, the angel appealed to prophecy. Why was that important? Why was his appeal to prophecy important? Because Joseph was a just man. Joseph lived according to God's law. Joseph lived according to what God said, what God revealed. What had God said in the law and the prophets? God had said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel." When God speaks, it happens. Consider what the prophet said in Isaiah 46, verse 11. "Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." You see, Joseph had read that verse, and he knew that when God speaks, it will happen. And here it is. It's happening. Right before my eyes, Joseph thinks. And what is happening is what was specifically prophesied by the same prophet in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine what's going through Joseph's mind? This one that is conceived in the womb of his betrothed wife is Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know about you, but it would have blown my mind. God with us. The infinite, sovereign God of the universe has limited himself into this tiny little being conceived in the womb of this young woman. Why? To rescue you and me. That's why he did that. So, this is real stuff that happened to real people, and it's because of real promises that were made in history. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled. You see, God said it would happen, and now he's bringing it to pass. This is God outworking his plan and purpose through history, using real people in real space and time. And then what does it say of Joseph? Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep..." You know, it's just when Joseph finally, the dream was done, and later on in the morning, when Joseph woke up that next morning, and I'm sure he probably woke up a little earlier than he normally would have, what does it say about him? "Did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife." He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. A little lesson for us here with regard to what faith is. Faith is to be obedient on the revelation you have. It is to act upon the revelation you have. Listen, I've heard far too many people trying to discern what the will of God is. And they have all of this revelation in front of them. And yet, for some reason, they still feel like God needs to tell them more. You know what I like to say to people when you're trying to discover the will of God? Which, by the way, I don't think it's anything you need to discover. I think you need to read it and understand it and obey it. Okay? That's a different subject for a different time and place. But God has spoken. This is revelation from God. Faith is acting upon the information you have, even though you may not know the details ahead. And Joseph didn't. Mary didn't. None of these players in this saga did. They didn't know what the future would hold, per se, in all of its detail. But faith is to be obedient, to act upon the revelation, the information you have, though you may not know the details ahead. You do, however, trust the character and the purpose of the one who does know what lies ahead, because he's already been there. That's faith. And that's what Joseph did. So with the new information now that he has from the angel of the Lord, verified through Mary's condition and the prophet's prophecy, he acted, and he took Mary, his wife. Faith does not establish truth. It's not like Joseph got up the next day and says, Oh, I believe it, I believe it, therefore it must be true. No, it is true. And faith does not establish truth. Faith embraces truth. Loved ones, do you understand what we have here? The revelation, the information from an infinite sovereign God. This is truth. Faith embraces truth. And that's what Joseph did. He received this truth from the angel and he embraced it. And how do we know he did that? Because he took Mary, his wife. His plan before, with the information that he had before, was to put her away. Do it with kindness, but he was still going to have to put her away because she was with child. Now he has new information. This child is of the Holy Spirit, and this child that is conceived in her womb is a fulfillment of a prophecy of Isaiah. And now he embraces that truth and he takes Mary to himself. Verse 25 is significant. He took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. What is the significance of that? Jesus was not the biological son of Joseph. And he knew that. And he said, it needs to stay that way. The perception needs to stay that way. And because Jesus was not a biological son of Joseph, he was not a biological son of Adam. He didn't have an Adamic nature. Jesus was not born with a sinful nature like you and I are. His default was not to rebel against God and be distracted away from God. His default was to pursue God. And that's exactly what he did as the Son of God. He pursued God and pleased God in everything he did. That's why he was qualified to rescue you and me from our sin. He is fully man because he was born of Mary. He is fully man, but he was and is the Son of God. And his purpose was to rescue humanity and to create a new humanity. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he refers to him as the last Adam or the second man. What does that mean? He is the author and source of a new humanity. There was the first Adam, and all of us are sons and daughters of Adam. Christ came not as a son of Adam, but as the Son of God, and he is creating a new humanity. We are, those of us who have entrusted ourselves to faith in Jesus Christ, are created in Christ Jesus. And he's creating a new humanity. Humans, as the last Adam, is a life-giving spirit. And he came as Jesus to save us from our sins, as a life-giving spirit, so that we, as we are saved from our sins, will be reconciled to God, restored to him, and regenerated. A new humanity is developed, is established. And that's why we are called the people of God. This is what happens when God acts upon his creation. This is the Christmas story of redemption, of the gospel of grace. As the angel said, Angel Gabriel said to Mary, as recorded in Luke chapter 1, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God, for with God nothing will be impossible. God acts upon his creation. Aren't you glad he does? Because he has acted so that you and I can be rescued and redeemed and restored and reconciled to him.